I'm very happy now to welcome Patrick McFarlane. He's a painter, he's curator of a project called The Goldfinch Variations, which is an exhibition that opens this Thursday, the 30th of April, at Peter's Projects here in Santa Fe. And I'd like to welcome Stephen Davis. He's an artist whose work is also in this show. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Patrick, let's talk about how this Goldfinch Variations came into being. The project was inspired by a novel called The Goldfinch, and the painting, which is one of the basically central characters in the novel. Is that correct?
Right. And that's unusual for a painting to be a central, a protagonist of a novel.
Yeah.
So that kind of caught my attention. And I was jiving with one of my other artist painter friends, and he said, he was reading the novel as well, and he said, well, who's going to paint the painting for the movie? Because this novel starts with an explosion, so you know it's going to be a movie. And and that's something I've always wanted to do. So I said, well, hey, I'm going to paint the painting for the movie. And after that, I didn't start to paint the painting for the movie. It actually has been contracted to be a movie now. It hadn't at that time. But I just started doing studies of that painting and the size of the original. And it's a very tiny painting, 9 by 13 1/4 inches. But
And so you, well, first of all, you read the novel and were inspired by it? I mean, did you love the book?
I liked the book. I didn't cry. There's some nice passages about the artist Fabricius, and about art and painting in general. But it's a good book.
So you then said, okay, let's have some fun here and put a call out to artists to respond to the painting by the Dutch artist Karel Fabricius, and I guess to the book itself. I mean, was it a requirement that people had read the book?
You know, a lot of artists ask me that. Do I have to read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. It's more about the painting, really. Many artists haven't read the book that are in the show. There's 54 artists in the show.
54 artists in the show. One of them is Stephen Davis. Did you? How did you respond when Patrick gave you a call and said, hey, let's do this?
Well, Patrick and I are friends, so I kind of knew about this from the inception. And we didn't know what. We had no idea what it was going to be. It was just a few friends in the beginning, I think,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so we said, sure, we'll do this. Everybody could do it in their own style, you know, whatever they wanted to do with it.
Now, you got a panel, a wooden panel that was the same size as the original painting.
Patrick
correct, yeah.
provided the panels, and, you know, so I said, sure, and several other friends said, sure, but as this progressed, it was amazing to watch Patrick develop this. I'm calling him the Diaghilev of the Goldfinch, because he's an impresario now. You know,
yeah.
He's turned into 54 artists, and, you know, it's turned into something. It has legs of its own now, so it's pretty interesting.
Is this the first time you've done something like that, Patrick?
Absolutely, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting to see when you give somebody, I actually love art projects like this. You give somebody a limit and some kind of loosely constructed theme and say, go wild. And the variation that you get is so huge. I mean, one of the things that one person did that I saw that you showed me was somebody actually made a replica of the object that the goldfish in the original painting is standing on.
John Massey, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, he, with the hinges and the brass rods and the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then other people are responding with all kinds of birds and variations of goldfinches, and then some are completely in another direction entirely.
Yes, we have a monochromatic canvas, and we have a gold leaf goldfinch from Marty Horowitz, and we have all kinds of different styles, and you know, it didn't have to have a picture of a bird in it at all. You
right.
know?
And some of them don't.
It kind of grew organically in terms of, at a certain point, artists said, you know, well, I know somebody that would really be interested in this, and do you have a panel for them? And so I got a really expert craftsman to James Holmes to make panels, and I was dealing them out and FedExing them off around the country. And now there are, you know, artists from Rhode Island to California and on to Hawaii, and from Marfa, Texas to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and of course quite a few around here as well.
Now, are you taking whatever comes in, or are you, you know, selecting from among the submissions?
I'm pretty much taking what's coming in, yeah.
And you're liking it?
I'm liking it a lot, yeah.
It's so interesting, because this is the kind of thing where the more people hear about it, the more you're going to, I mean, it could be massive. It could be hundreds and hundreds of artists if you're not careful.
That's my big vision, is to do regional shows and snowball it into hundreds and hundreds of artists, as you say.
Really?
A really big national show. But that's going to take a while, you
yeah.
know, to book shows in different regions. I like to do the Bay Area, something in Texas, et cetera,
Tell us a little bit about the book and the role of the painting in the book.
Well, the painting gets blown off the wall in an explosion, as I mentioned, in the very beginning. And this kid ends up on the floor, and his mother's an art historian, and she gets killed, and he ends up with the painting, stumbling out of the rubble with the painting, and he keeps it for his whole life. And so this is kind of, you know, goes to Las Vegas to live with his dad and ends up in Amsterdam and so on and so on. So it's like this hidden jewel that he's kept his whole life. So,
and the artist, who's an actual artist, this is based on a real painting by Carol Fabricius, who was, I guess, one of Rembrandt's star students.
Right, yeah.
And did he also die in an explosion?
He did. in the town of Delft.
Yeah.
There was a gunpowder magazine that blew up and destroyed about a quarter of the city and killed him and wiped out a lot of his work. It's very tragic. He was 32.
Oh, my goodness.
He was 10 years older than Vermeer. And one of the reasons, the very few, there's just about a dozen of his works that have survived, is that Vermeer owned some of his paintings. And Vermeer wasn't in this disaster area.
Yeah.
So
Vermeer survived, of course, not very many of his paintings either. I don't know how many. Vermeer didn't paint all that many paintings. And this guy Fabricius, who's amazing and just an incredibly amazing artist. And so it's kind of like it's interesting for you to be getting artists to say, here, do something based on the master. How did you respond, Stephen Davis?
I didn't paint a bird. I did what I normally do, which is the negative space of in my other paintings. So I did it that way. But I just took it as a kind of motif, you know, to work around. And I hadn't read the book, but I heard the CD, which is the best actor's voice I've ever heard on it.
Audiobooks are amazing. I've been just starting this year to start dipping into audiobooks, and the experience of that, if it's well read by a good actor, is unbelievable.
Oh, this guy was incredible. He had, you know, he goes from Upper East Side to Lower East Side in New York. He had every accent, every intonation.
A Russian accent. Voices for the kids, for the women, all that. He's really, really good.
Oh, it's incredible.
Nice. And, of course, for you guys as artists, audiobooks are probably something that you can listen to while working.
Sometimes, yeah. I'm not working with words.
Right. Yeah, because some of your work does include words. Now, you, Patrick, have taken a piece of the text that I think you want to read to us.
Yeah.
This is from Donna Tartt's novel, The Goldfinch.
Right. It's towards the end of the novel, and I thought it was quite a beautiful bit about painting in general. And this old antique dealer he has a passage in the near the end of the book, and he laughed and he says, "What's to say? Great paintings. People flock to see them. They draw crowds. They're reproduced endlessly on coffee mugs and mouse pads and anything you like. And you can have a lifetime of perfectly sincere museum going where you traipse around enjoying everything and then go out and have some lunch. But if a painting really works down in your heart and changes the way you see and think and feel, you don't think, 'Oh, I love this picture because it's universal. I love this painting because it speaks to all mankind.' That's not the reason anyone loves a piece of art. It's a secret whisper from an alleyway. Psst, you. Hey, kid. Yes, you."
That's so great. Is that your experience? I want to ask both of you as artists, like when you see a work that really moves you or speaks to you, what is that like? Is it more kind of an intimate whisper?
That's a tough one because works get you at all different times. You know, there's some works you go by for years and don't see, and now you're in the right spot, and then it whispers to you, I guess, you know, or yeah, in some way announces itself to you, and you can see it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're not ready.
And then there's the fall down and cry experience, you know, like...
Well, there's that.
You know, that it's not a whisper, it's a sledgehammer or whatever. Yeah. It's a tornado, you know, like that was my experience with the Night Watch, Rembrandt's Night Watch. I'd seen it reproduced in the, you know, I said, what's the big deal about this painting? But when you're in front of it, it's a movie, you know. It's a huge painting, and it's full of life, and it just knocked me over.
Interesting.
Titian's Flaying of Marsyas.
Uh-huh.
It just, you just look at it and start talking to yourself. it's an amazing thing. There are a lot of paintings like that.
But then there are the whispers, you know, that... Or some of them grow on you. Some of them suck you in with their subtlety.
I had a summer job once working in a museum, and it was really interesting because you'd have access to the same works day after day after day after day. You'd walk past the same ones every day on the way to the office, and you'd stop sometimes. And there was that experience of seeing something over and over and over where it got under your skin in a way that it doesn't on one visit where you just kind of stop and walk on.
Yeah.
That's what makes a painting a good painting, that you see more things in it the more you look, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's, you know, a one-liner.
Also, if it has the power to charge, it's like a battery, you know, over time, and hopefully it keeps putting a charge out, you know.
It is funny how works of art in some way seem to be alive, and you go into a room full of paintings and you're the only one there, or sculptures or whatever it is, and you're like, all of these little beings, you know, do they talk to each other at night?
I had that experience in Berlin with Rembrandt, speaking of Rembrandt, where I turned around, I thought somebody moved behind me, you know. It was a Rembrandt painting, and nobody else in the room.
Yeah. So the Goldfinch Variations is an exhibition that opens on this Thursday, the 30th of April, from 5 to 7 at Peter's Project, which is at 1011 Paseo de Peralta. It's that big, huge, huge art gallery right here in Santa Fe. And it's open to the public. Is there going to be, besides the reception and opening, are you going to read or anything or have any presentations?
Oh, I might ham it up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'll read the same thing I read just now. Because I have a huge painting of that quotation.
You've painted the words.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that's out of format of the Goldfinch format of 9x13¼.
Why do you do that? You'd sometimes make paintings, you've made a lot of paintings of texts that are very colorful and use the letters of the words in interesting ways. What's that about?
Well, originally it was just a design to hang paint on, you know, a way of making an abstraction. And I picked passages from great books that I thought were comfortable to live with, that aren't preachy, that aren't you know, have no axe to grind, but are just something that when you do, you know, if you're going to live with this painting, you're not going to be reading it every day. But if you do read it, you know, it's something wonderful and comforting.
Patrick McFarlane, curator of the Goldfinch Variations, Thursday, Peter's Project, Stephen Davis artist whose work is in the show, and many other artists' works are in this show. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.